become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our city, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Hello, Rick Adams. I'm filling in today for John Stadtmiller on the National Intel Report. Good afternoon to you, world out there. Our number, toll-free, is 800-313-9443. And in this hour here, the first hour to start things off, I'm going to welcome to the microphones Professor William O. Beeman, who is professor of anthropology at Brown University in Providence. He's on sabbatical leave, I believe, this year. And he has just returned from Iran, of all places. He's written a book, The Great Satan versus the Mullahs, How the U.S. and Iran Demonize Each Other. Hello, Professor Beeman.
Hello. I'm so pleased to be with you.
Well, thank you. It's good to have you back here today. And we've had you on my program at night, and locally, of course, you're from Rhode Island. But it's interesting. Boy, what timing, huh, to have you on right now. You who have visited Iran. In fact, in 1979, at the Iranian hostage crisis, you were quite vociferous at that time in trying to explain what was going on, I gather, right?
Well, it was very difficult to try to explain to the United States what the feelings of Iranians were during the hostage crisis, because, of course, we were very intimately involved with the revolution and with, of course, the hostage crisis, because our diplomats and embassy personnel had been taken hostage. And I think that it's interesting that after 27 years, we still are not very close to understanding the situation in Iran. It's a very difficult thing for Americans to comprehend.
You know, the thing that amazes me is, we're hearing about Islamic fundamentalism, and certain people, certain countries want us to think in terms of the Islamic enemy. We're fighting a world war against Islamofascism and so on and so forth. And yet, we have a country called Iran, which the United States will not even speak to officially or directly. In fact, we have a total embargo on them for the most part, and we also have no diplomatic relations. Isn't that true?
That's true, and the simple fact is that aside from perhaps North Korea, this is unprecedented in American diplomatic history. And the curious thing about it is that despite all the rhetoric, despite all the yelling and screaming that goes back and forth between Iran and the United States, actually we have, neither side has really done anything to harm the other side in any really significant way since the time of the Iran-Iraq war. The economic embargo is a problem for Iran.
Yes. Hold that thought, Professor. We'll be right back with you and our listeners on the National Intel Report.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And Rick Adams here, filling in today for John, who's he's on the mend and doing much better, thank God, and he'll be back very soon with us. We're talking with Professor William O. Beeman, and Professor Beeman is an expert on Iran. I'm not, and I'll be the first to admit it. I just wish that George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Mr. Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and the rest of the neocons in this administration would also do likewise and confess that they are abysmally ignorant of Iran, because to the best of my knowledge, none of them have made a personal visit to Iran to see for themselves what Iran is all about. And Professor Beeman, you have done that on more than one occasion, haven't you?
Oh, that's true. I not only lived there a long time before the revolution, but also have been able to visit Iran several times since the revolution. It's been a long time. It's been 27 years, but but it is absolutely possible to go, and in fact, it's quite easy to travel to Iran. It's I'm often asked by people whether I'm afraid to go to Iran, or whether they could maybe make the trip. And it is the simplest thing in the world. Any person who's interested in being a tourist in Iran can easily do so. There are many very inexpensive and wonderful tours. The Europeans and Japanese and People from all over the earth are there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's only Americans that don't go.
Yeah, exactly. And this grip on Iran that we're seeing now is very similar to the grip that we imposed, if you will, the dragnet, on Iraq after the United States and Israel used Iraq to fight Iran in that horrible war that went on for over a decade with a tremendous loss of life. The United States was supplying both sides, and so were some other countries. And, of course, the United States told them, now, look, we don't want you to fight, but just in case, here's the weapons, you know.
Right.
And, of course, now we wash our hands of it, and Saddam Hussein is the most evil man on the face of the earth, and he's another Hitler, and so on and so forth. The same propaganda now is being applied to Iran. And, you know, just the other day, I heard an interview, Professor, with this Hugh Court. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yes, I am.
Hugh Court for president. And he was on a radio station locally, and he had positive proof, he said, absolute proof that Iran was behind this bombing in London the other day. And as far as he's concerned, it had all the earmarks and handmarks of al-Qaeda. And Iran is behind al-Qaeda. We know Iran is doing this. We need to go and immediately start bombing Iran. And
well,
you say?
Know,
what do you say?
This is completely crazy, of course. Unfortunately, the administration, the Bush administration, has also promulgated the idea that there might be a connection between al-Qaeda and Iran.
Uh-huh.
I want your listeners to understand that al-Qaeda that Osama bin Laden and the people who've organized al-Qaeda are from a very extreme right conservative group in Sunni Islam. This group does not even recognize the Shia Muslims as real Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They tell their friends to avoid them, to not talk to them. For this reason alone, the possibility that Iran could be cooperating with al-Qaeda is absolutely beyond the pale. It's beyond all reason. Our administration doesn't seem to recognize that fact. They simply want to lump everybody who might be opposed to the United States under one rubric.
Oh, absolutely. And this has been the formula now since day one. A lot of people don't realize it. But again, what we saw in Iraq was this country. Iraq was a very progressive Arab country, probably the most advanced in the Arab world. And even the United Nations was on the verge of listing it as a first-class nation. That is, it was becoming a first-world nation in terms of education, culture, and all of this. And had this war by the United States not commenced, we would have seen Iraq continue to be a leading, if you will, leading country in the Middle East, no?
That's absolutely true. And I think that most Americans also don't understand that Iran is also a relatively well-developed industrial nation with an incredibly talented population. Now, 70 million people. Iran has some of the best medical treatment in the entire world, and they're now manufacturing their own automobiles and their own airplanes. So they really have made quite an advancement.
Yeah.
And actually, this is something that your listeners also need to understand, is that Iran's development of nuclear energy facilities is part and parcel not of their desire to make a bomb to attack other people, but nuclear energy because they feel that this is what an industrialized nation should be pursuing in order to be energy conscious in this world, and also to shore up their own growing energy needs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because here we are now. We're occupying another nation. It's not a legal occupation according to international law, and yet George Bush is complaining that the borders with Iran or Iraq and Syria are porous, while here in the United States, we've got a similar situation. The United States government is doing everything it can to stand down the Border Patrol while telling us we need to ship more troops over to Iraq, patrol that country's borders, keep Syrians out, Iranians out, as if God has mandated that George Bush do this. Now, George Bush has actually said this. George Bush has said that God has spoken to him and given him a mandate to lead the world. In fact, he just said it the other day at the G8 summit before the bombing. He said that he feels the United States has this somehow this mission to lead the world. But where is it leading the world, and how is it leading it are two questions he doesn't address.
Well, I wish him well. I wish him well in paying the bill for leading the world. And that I think is something that American taxpayers are already understanding. That our economic situation is getting worse and worse and worse. And I can tell you that if the Chinese and Japanese decide to call in the the huge amounts of American bonds that they have, the American consumer is going to feel very, very poor very soon. Our trade balance with China now is $160 billion. It's an unprecedented amount, and so the real question is, can we afford to continue trying to police the entire world?
Well, the answer is obvious, I think, to reasonable people, but we're not dealing with reasonable people when we deal with these neocons, are we?
No, they're ideologically driven, and they seem to believe that that there is no price tag on anything that we're doing in order to shore up an ideological position, and I don't want to put it in simply practical terms. There are lots of things that we need to do, especially in the area of human rights, and that includes, by the way, human rights in Iran, which is not the best. But in a situation that we find ourselves in the Middle East, we have very little influence over the kinds of things that really should matter to us, like things like human rights, as long as we are behaving worse than any of the people that we would like to criticize.
Obviously, people who are listening now, you'd like to get online. Here's a man who's been there. He's been to Iran. You've got a question, anything, he'd be happy to talk to you. Professor Bill Beeman from Brown University. I'm Rick Adams, filling in for John Stadtmiller. The number, 800-313-9443. Get on the line right now. Let's see if we can start a call here with Scott from Massachusetts. Hello, Scott.
Nice to hear you in the afternoon.
Thank you very much. Say hello to Bill Beeman.
Hi, Professor Beeman.
Hello.
It's a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you.
You know, you're talking about human rights. It seems to me like you're saying Iran has a fairly functional, well-run society to a certain degree.
Iran has now had nine elections without incident, and the presidents of Iran have adhered strictly to term limits. It's not like, for instance, in Central Asia, where they revise the laws so that the leaders of those countries can stay in power for life.
Right.
So it's a very I think that most Iranians would agree that the Iranian constitution needs some very severe overhauling. But for the time being, and since the revolution, the government has been running in a thoroughly orderly fashion.
It's been a theocracy now.
There's a long answer to that question, but let me tell you this, that the government of Iran was set up after the revolution to be to have as its head the wisest and most senior religious leader that could be found. And there's a religious justification for this, but I should tell you that there are very few people today who agree with this, and that's one of the things that's going to have to change as the Iranian constitution evolves.
You think so, huh?
I believe so. I think that the young generation in Iran is absolutely fed up with this, and the only question is how will they find the political power to be able to enforce a constitutional revision.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the human rights.
I see there's a break coming up. Would you like to just stay on the line?
Oh, yes.
Since I only gave you a couple of moments. Stay with Professor Beeman and me, and we'll be back. I'm Rick Adams, and we're talking with William O. Beeman, and he's an expert in Iran. National Intel Report will continue. I'm filling in for John Stadmiller.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials, with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied towards your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
Filling in for John Stadtmiller on the National Intel Report. My guest, William O. Beeman, professor of anthropology and, I guess, theater and speech and dance as well at Brown University. Is that right? You do it all, huh? All right. And on the line is Scott from Massachusetts. We got a lot of callers. Scott, you want to continue?
Yes, just briefly.
Sure.
You made the mention of God telling George Bush he's got to do this.
Yes, that's sometimes what he says now, not me. I mean, George Bush.
Yeah, no, I heard you. Sometimes I think George Bush thinks Ariel Sharon is God, but...
Oh, yes, he said
other
so.
Other than that... So getting back to the human rights issue, you know, human rights are something that everybody has a different opinion about, what they really are. And, you know, tell me, Professor Beeman, how do the people in Iran feel about abortion?
You know, it's extremely interesting. The Iranian parliament, with the approval of the clerical leadership of Iran recently passed an abortion law that allows for abortion in the first trimester if the fetus is unviable or if the woman's health is endangered. And that was a very surprising, I think, for Americans who knew about this. That was an extremely surprising development in Iran. But it was carefully researched by the ruling clerics, and it was something that the women of Iran insisted on. And I should point out that the women in Iran are very powerful politically, not like we think in the United States that they are. And they were very concerned about abortions taking place illegally in the city and about the health consequences of that. Many women were dying. And so this is a very enlightened law. It is far more enlightened than, for instance, the governor of Massachusetts would allow if he had his way. And so I find that it's curious that in the United States we condemn Iran for being backward and ultra conservative, and yet they passed a law that's more progressive than many of our conservative legislators would allow.
And just a couple other questions: pornography. How do they handle that?
The pornography is generally not allowed in Iran. However,
okay. How about homosexuality?
You'll be also interested to know, this isn't homosexuality, but you'll also be interested to know that Iran has just recently passed another law which allows transgendered people in Iran to have sex change operations. And that is, again, something that's very surprising.
And I think homosexuality?
And in my last trip to Iran, what I discovered was that there were many, many gay men and women who are now coming out of the closet and declaring openly that they're homosexual. Although this is disapproved of, they're not acting on it at all. They're allowing it to go forward as a form of personal expression.
Well, they may be closer to America than we think.
I think everybody in the country is waking up a little bit, Rick. But the last question I have, a million more I could ask him, but how are Christians treated there? Are there any Christians? And if there are, how are they treated?
There are many Christians in Iran. And one of the great surprises for Americans is that the religious minorities and the ethnic minorities in Iran are, in fact, living in great harmony with the majority population. The Assyrians and Armenians have designated representatives in the Iranian parliament. And as well as the Jews. The Jews in Iran have a designated representative in parliament, and also the Zoroastrians. And these minorities are respected by the Islamic majority because it's a religious requirement that they be respected in Islam. The objection that Iran has to Israel is based largely on their objection to Zionism, which they consider to be a political movement and not having anything to do with Judaism as a religion.
Very
Rick,
interesting.
I appreciate the time Professor Beeman spent with me and on your program. I look forward to the rest of it.
Great. Appreciate you calling in, Scott. And, we're here right up until the end of the hour at least. And if you want to ask a question of Professor Beeman, by all means, 800-313-9443. Let's see if we can squeeze in Ron from Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on the program.
Hi, Rick and Professor Beeman. How are you?
Yes,
how are
good.
You?
Okay. Ever since this 9/11, I'm going to get off the Iranian topic for a moment and get into another Saudi Arabic country over there. Back in 1988 or 89, I was trying to shore up some plans to go to Kuwait and work. And the girlfriend I had at the time, who was American, had some Arabs staying with her from Kuwait. One was a girl and the other formerly was a guy, her brother, that was now a doctor. And during the course of a number of months, I got to know those people very, very, very well. And the sway over here with Americans listening to the propagandized news and other things over there aren't what people think they are. And I had received an invitation if I shored up employment plans, I was going to live in a Kuwaiti home with the Kuwaitis. And I was thoroughly briefed as to the social customs because things over there are a little bit different. Now, people think they're completely a bunch of strange people that are homicidal Muslims that wear burlap and robes and walk in the sand all day. It's not like that.
Okay, hold your thought. Stay with us, Ron.
I swear to you, if you have the opportunity, I've lived with the Kuwaiti family.
All right, hold on, Professor. We got a break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All righty, we're back. Rick Adams filling in for John Stadtmiller on the National Intel Report on RBNLive.com. And we're going to tell you how you can support our network in the next hour, Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Professor William Beeman, anthropologist, and, of course, he's an expert on Iran. And, you know, Professor, we're with our caller here, Ron, but just an aside, I'd say probably most of our listeners are to the right and probably considered to be to the extreme right or ultra-right. Many are not, but many are just against this internationalism, interventionist, Zionist, foreign policy of the United States. And Professor Beeman's probably left of center, and yet he can deal with the issues as a matter of fact and not to inject his own personal ideology. And that's the thing I like about him so much.
Well, thank you so much. But, you know, actually, I'm a registered independent.
Good for
and
you.
I have been just as critical, really, and I've been just as critical of Democratic administrations as I have of Republican administrations, because in neither Republican nor Democratic administrations have we had a reasonable policy for dealing with Iran. The
Whole Middle East,
and then through the Middle East. In some ways, it was we had maybe not as extreme views being expressed, and certainly no attacks under Clinton. But the Clinton administration didn't know very much either.
No, we see that. That's for sure. All right, we're back with Ron from Pennsylvania. And Ron, you were stating that your misperceptions about Iran were brought to light when you were there. Was it Kuwait? I'm sorry.
There were no preconceived notions about what those people are like, but I had gotten to know the Kuwaitis and some Saudis that were over here, too, for educational reasons. And we sat down and talked about this kind of thing for quite some time. Of course, 9/11 hadn't occurred yet.
Yeah.
But I find that those people are not a whole lot different than we are. They have the shopping malls, they have the streets, they have the stores to sit down and the restaurants to sit down and eating, but they just don't have a lot of vegetation. It's all heat and sand over there. Now, I find the biggest thing that I've noticed about them, when we sit down and talked about the politics, is that they said, look, he says, we do not dislike the American people at all. I want to straighten that out. They dislike the American government and the governments that are going over there and doing the things they shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have no problem going over to Kuwait and live and work. I have no problem with those people at all, even in Saudi Arabia. Now, in Kuwait, the women drive cars. In Saudi Arabia, they do not. There's some social differences and so forth that the professor probably is aware of.
Yes.
But as I got to know those people, they don't look any different than us. They don't act any different than us. They just believe in the Quran, which I do not. They have no problem with that. But it's amazing the misconception that Americans would have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is because of our news media.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, there's agendas here that I don't like. I think I see what's going on over the past couple of years. I've heard all of this hot wind go over the radio and the television. And frankly, if you get even to know those people without going over there, which I'm sorry I couldn't have made the trip over, and some personal family problems came up later on, it precluded that, and the employment went down the tubes anyway, so I never did get the chance, but it was a trip I was looking forward to make. And it was a period of time in my life that it probably would have been a good thing to do.
Sure. Professor Beeman, you wanted to respond before the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no question. I've lived in a Kuwaiti household actually for some time, many years ago when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
And I will tell you that the hospitality is unprecedented.
Oh yeah.
And that you'll find that people will really fall all over themselves to make sure that you as a guest are as comfortable as you can possibly be. And the also I think Americans somehow also believe that that Islam, which you mentioned, is a some kind of very, very alien religion. Most people are quite surprised to understand that Islam considers itself to be the continuation of Judaism and Christianity, and all of the figures of Judaism and Christianity are also respected and revered by Muslims. So that Jesus, Abraham, David, Noah, all of the Old Testament and New Testament figures that we know are part and parcel of Islam as a religion. And the term Allah simply means God. That's all it means.
Right.
And the God that Muslims worship is the same God that Christians and Jews worship.
Right. There are a lot of biblical and Quran similarities that people aren't aware of. It's not a completely different, alien, hostile, madman religion a lot of people think, although some... You're going to have fringe groups in any belief system. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely. In the United States, we have, we have Christians that are way, way off on the right and that are not generally accepted by mainstream Christians. There are extremists in Judaism, and, of course, there are extremists in Islam as well.
Right.
Well, let me just say this also, that the perception that most Americans have today, as you point out, Ron, is definitely one that's conditioned by the mass media the press that wants us to hate that part of the world. You know, we had on a couple of weeks ago, and her broadcast will be rebroadcast tonight. I'm taking the night off and giving you an opportunity to rehear it. Nita Renfrew, who spent time living in Iraq in the 80s and then wrote the book Saddam Hussein in 92, and she sold the rights to the publisher, and the publisher won't let her buy the rights anymore, won't allow the book to be published. Because
I've heard her before.
Yeah, she's great, and she's basically saying the same thing Bill Beeman's saying about Iraq, and it was a totally different picture when she went there from that which she had been exposed to. Now, we know that the propaganda is heavy right now. We know that right now there is this inculcation, if you will, to make Americans hate Iranians, hate Arabs, and so forth.
That's
and
right.
All of this is being festered up at a time when we can ill afford to continue to fight all over the globe and fight these wars that are costing Americans their lives, and yet the end result is we are hated more now as a nation, not our people necessarily, but our government, is more hated now than when George Bush took office and following 9/11. Would you agree with that, or Professor Beeman?
There's no question about it. My friends who have been working in the in Islamic countries and actually really any place in the world for many, many years tell me that wherever they go, that they encounter hostility like they've never seen before in their lives, and their friends will say, "Well, we know you and we like you because we've known you for so many years, and we know that you care about us." But we don't think that the American government has our best interests in mind. We think that the American government is really out to do us harm, mm-hmm. and that is that's the image that the United States is projecting throughout mm-hmm. the entire world.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Ron, thank you for your call.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Okay, 1-800-313-9443 is our number. Toll free, 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams, filling in for John Stadtmiller on the National Intel Report. And, of course, we're speaking with Professor William O. Beeman. Got a quick question? Get on the line now. Roger in Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on the program.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. My first of two questions is quick and less important. But is there too much made of popular antipathy over there to the Shah of Iran in light of the fact that he did more to bring Iran out of the Stone Age and to wrest control for the mullahs?
I have a new book. I recommend that you read it. It's a very important thing for you to understand that although what you say is true, that the Shah was involved with a lot of development for Iran, that the way that that the Shah went about it was a way in which it left most of the country impoverished and allowed a very, very small stratum of the population to become very, very wealthy. And the United States also was complicit in this. So
yeah,
I
did think he had done a lot to broaden higher education.
Actually, the higher education has broadened far more after the revolution than it did before.
Okay, now my second question, more important. It seems that our elites in this country have just about zero interest in propagating the American constitutional limited governmental form throughout the world, or the more the shame, since we're not using it ourselves, and we might need a free country or two to escape to. Now, instead, our elites only favor so-called democracies, as when I got to ask a local lawyer on talk radio, he was sent over to form the new constitution for Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask, is it true of Iraq, their constitution you helped prepare, as I've heard of the constitution in Afghanistan, that our cooked-up constitution has the socialisms built in, as I recall language about rights to decent housing and food and et cetera. And the lawyer responded, "Oh, yeah, but that's merely an ideal. That's some, you know, time off in the future till these rights can be secured," in other words.
That's interesting. You know, I will tell you that that in the attempt to try to develop a constitution that is Islamic in nature, which is what a lot of these countries would like. First of all, there's very, very little that one can point to in actual Islamic law that has anything to do at all with running a government. Almost nothing, as a matter of fact. There are some laws of personal conduct and family law, inheritance, and so forth, and that's about it. But nothing about setting up an economic system or an army or how you choose leaders or anything, nothing like that.
Well, now,
so what happens, but what does happen is that there are some ideals. that are included. And these include ideals of equality of opportunity for people, not allowing poor people to become further impoverished and to give aid to lots of folks. So these ideals that are built into the Constitution are actually Islamic in nature.
Well,
and they're things that almost nobody would disagree with.
Presumably, communisms / socialisms are not inherent to Islam per se, although a number of Islamic societies have tended to favor these concepts. They would have been grafted in, yes?
Well, you know, that in Islam, it is a religious requirement that people tithe.
But that's not a socialism. That's a
no, not at all. But what happens is that the money that is given for the tithe is used for charitable purposes, and that usually means to help the poor, to build hospitals, to build orphanages and schools. And so there is a natural redistribution that takes place in Islam itself. And the idea that the government would also try to do some of that redistribution is not unusual.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this in Muhammad the Crook's teaching? Was this inherent to force the tithe to give to the haves, to the have-nots, or this more a volitional tithe?
No, they're not volitional. But I will say this: it's important for you to understand that the tithe is only on your surplus income. That is, you first take care of every one of your needs, the needs of you and your family. And it's up to your conscience to determine what you consider to be surplus. And then to give a portion, only a portion of that surplus, so that it isn't anti-profit. For heaven's sakes, Islam absolutely sanctifies profit. There's no problem at all with making as much money as you possibly can.
Now, in other words, forced theft from the non-Islamics as part taxes, but that also possibly apply at all to the Islamics?
Well, as I say, it's a religious duty. Now, obviously, you know, as with all religious duties, you can ignore it.
But it was volitional for Islamics and merely forced for the infidels.
Well, no longer. The taxes that were placed on the dhimmis, so to speak, were expired 1,000 years ago, to be honest with you.
Well, what is the tax structure like in Iran besides the tithe? This tithe is in addition to the general taxes.
The tithe is a religious
right.
tithe.
Right.
And it turns out to be administered largely by the religious establishments who like, for instance, in the United States, where we have the Catholic Church founding hospitals and schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens in Iran and in other Islamic nations.
But what about the tax structure itself? What is it like? What percentage does the government of Iran take from the average worker, for instance? What kind of a tax structure do they?
Actually, you're asking me a question that I don't know. And
okay,
I'll be happy to find that out.
Good,
but I,
good. We'll have
but
you
I
back
think
again.
That, like every country, you know, Iran does have a tax on income and a tax on business. But I should also let your listeners know that the government is not dependent on that tax. They actually get more than 80% of their income from oil.
Right. Well, that's like the state of Alaska and the oil tax that they've
right.
gotten. You know, I'm just wondering if it would not be worth trading places, and maybe their tax burden might be a little lighter on some of us in this country than what our government's taking. All right, Roger, any other question before
Thanks,
we Jeff. Have to break?
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, good. Thank you, Roger. All right, 800-313-9443, filling in for John Stadtmiller. I'm Rick Adams on the National Intel Report. Very interesting program, and if you'd like to hop aboard right now, we have an open line for you. Now's the time. We're talking about Iran, and particularly the whole region of the Middle East, and the belligerency on the part of this administration, particularly with the neocons, and what it means for the future. I'm a little nervous here, just from a normal human political standpoint, Professor Beeman, in that George Bush loves to rattle sabers. And the thing that bothers many people about George Bush, of course, is that so far behind his saber is nothing but a pack, well, for lack of a better word, broken promises, lies, and deception, both on his part and on Tony Blair's part, particularly. And now it seems as if George Bush has given us the ultimate lie in that we are safer now than at any other time. And Tony Blair essentially has said the same thing. And now look at what happens in London. It seems to me, if anything, it proves the futility of trying to occupy another nation in the name of democracy. And that's just a general simplistic view,
you know,
but I think it's pretty fair.
You know that the irony is, of course, that the first time that Iraq was invaded by a foreign power was by Great Britain. And
yes.
Guess what they tried to do? They tried to create a democratic state in Iraq in the 1920s. And the however, their solution in the end was to install a ruler.
Yes.
And they installed the Hashemite king Abdullah, who was the who was the son of the Sharif of Mecca, who had helped Britain during World War One.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States is following almost directly in the footsteps of Great Britain, and the British had terrible trouble. They were eventually kicked out in the 1950s in a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that we would learn that this sort of nation building, when the people themselves don't want it, when it doesn't come from the people themselves, it's non-productive. It always ends in tragedy, and it never succeeds in actually improving the world at all.
Mm-hmm. All right, stay on the line. Dale in Texas and others will get back to you. And when we come back also, I'd like to ask Professor Beeman about this latest barrage of propaganda about the new leader of Iran and his alleged ties to the revolution and American soldiers. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge.
Yeehaw!
That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
And Adams filling in for John Stadtmiller, who's recovering. And National Intel Report continues. Before we go to Dale in Texas, Professor William Beeman, I'd like to just ask you, you know, it started when the election was just taking place a few weeks ago. You could already sense it and smell the blood, if you will, in the media reportage. You're not going to be able to trust this election. Hardliners have won, you know, conjuring up all sorts of preparatory images that this is going to be a bad fight. We're going to have to go and do something and kick butt, and we're going to have to end that nuclear threat to the world like Iraq was. And all of this, you know, and then the photo in which the gentleman who won the election there supposedly was one of those who held captives in 1979. And I looked at the photo and I said, my goodness, his eyebrows don't even look like the character in question. But now that has been pretty well dismissed. Is this just part of this propaganda campaign in the media again?
There are two groups that are interested in discrediting Mr. Ahmadinejad. The first group are the neoconservatives in the United States, and they didn't expect him to win. Mm-hmm. They expected his rival, Mr. Hashemi Rafsanjani, to win, and they started complaining about Hashemi Rafsanjani before the election even was finished. Danielle Pletka in the New York Times
I've been reading her.
She on June 16th wrote an editorial denouncing Rafsanjani as the result of the manipulation of the clerics. Well, then Ahmadinejad won, and they had egg all over their face, and so they didn't even turn on a dime, and immediately started to attack Ahmadinejad as the person who the clerics were trying to manipulate into office. So it was obviously the case that it didn't matter who won. They were going to use this as a platform to denounce the government of Iran no matter what.
Sure.
Now
the
second group are the Mujahideen al-Khalq. And these are a Marxist Islamic group that was involved with the original revolution, and they were purged shortly after the revolution.
Uh-huh.
They've been trying to get back in power for a long time, and they have their hooks into the U.S. government in a big, big way. They're working now with the CIA, and they have several defenders in Congress. Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania, Sam Brownback from Texas, and Ileana Ross Lehtinen from Florida, who's a representative in the House of Representatives. These three have actually sponsored bills to give U.S. taxpayer money to this group in order to support their activities.
Yep.
And the Mujahideen are on the U.S. official terrorist list because before the revolution, they killed a number of American businessmen and officials. So this is a group that wants desperately to see that the government of Iran falls. And they don't like Mr. Ahmadinejad because, although he was involved with the election, he was opposed to the Marxists.
Doesn't it sound like the Iraqi National Congress again, and then Bill Clinton and that bill that was passed, that whole cast of characters, Ahmed Shalabi? Doesn't it sound familiar?
Well, it does sound very familiar, but what bothers me a lot is that the U.S. government seems to be completely indiscriminate about who it listens to.
And we have
people essentially making up things and telling lies and twisting logic in order to be able to try to persuade the United States to actually take some kind of military action against Iran.
Yes, and that may be coming soon. We'll have you back, Professor Beeman. I'll mention your website in the next hour. Thanks for being with us for an hour of your time. Bye-bye now. Okay, we'll be right back. John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. I'm Rick Adams.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.